Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
You've been watching Sam Darnold for years, Key. A little visual difference here this morning.
It's funny just watching. I've always said that. I said that to him when he was out at USC. I'm like, man, you look like the bully in the ninth grade bullying up on the fifth graders. Because he's just like,
he's thick.
Yeah, he's a thick kid. Got a nice size helmet, you know.
I'm mad we had a caller that called in and asked for your favorite serial killer.
See, y'all got these people out there thinking I'm standing outside of hotels asking for serial killers' autographs or something. Like,
where have we been implied? Ted Bundy.
John Wayne Gacy. Dale Jeez. Wayne Eaton.
Why do you know so many?
Because Zubin Richard watches Ramirez. The stuff, too. Zubin watches the ID Network just like I do.
And I can't get in. I can't
people.
Do it.
Why?
It's scary.
No, it's not scary. It's just... I'm informed, I'm in tuned with what's going on in certain areas of the country and
does
people.
It help you take better protective measures?
It really does.
How so? How
do you? Because if I hear certain noises in certain places, I know how to adjust to do what I need to do.
Why are you guys playing that music in the background? What is that?
What is that?
Oh, that's SVU.
Oh. It just... Whatever. I like the mystery movies. I like ID Network. Ain't no difference between that and Law and Order. What's the difference? It's all the same stuff. Mysteries and people being found in many pieces. And I see one
Jeez,
last night.
Stop. All right, enough. It's the morning time. I don't want to think about people being
one,
in many pieces.
I see one last night, man.
No, I don't want to hear this story.
No, it has something to do with the military, and they was hiding stuff, and it was crazy, man. It was so wild.
Zubin, can we get back to sports? I never thought I would say that.
I'm the guy that's supposed to say that.
Okay. I know.
So ID is a good way to go. What is the
get
Jets'
back to sports.
Identity?
No, stop, man. Stop worrying about that. People like, you know, we're just like them.
I know.
We're normal.
I just don't like talking about murder mysteries. I don't.
It's not all. No, everything is not all murder. It could be American greed. It could be some of that. It's
okay.
Not all murder.
Okay, all right.
It's just, you know, the things that happen on those stations that you snapped, you know, that sort of stuff. Some poor girl, the dude. Ooh, wow, man.
Hometown Homicide, another good one.
Okay. Hometown Homicide, yeah.
He Zubin knows them all. How does he know them all?
We watch.
The guy next door.
We've been watching.
The
this.
Neighbor.
Oh. Now I'm going to look at my neighbors
it, right?
differently.
So the bottom line is this. You mentioned the ID Network, and we just heard Dan Orlovsky say, this is the Jets' biggest decision, identity-wise, in 40 years. Like, you just got to get this right. You're at a pivotal point. You're seeing the other teams in the division. Buffalo's finally showing signs of life. You know the Pats are going to be back. Miami's moving in the right direction. And there you are, yet again, trying to do whatever
years.
You can to catch up. Well, that's what Dan said. I mean, that's his opinion.
No, I'm just saying 40 years. I'm
years.
Just thinking along the way, decisions that they made in the last 20 years. You know, I'm just like... I think one of the big decisions was them getting rid of Rex Ryan, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That was I think they jumped the gun on that one a little bit. He kind of wore out his welcome a little bit in New York, so I think that, but they should probably held on to him a little bit longer.
So
a
we
little
know
bit longer.
So how much longer are they going to hold on to Sam Darnold? That's the question. Obviously, pick third overall, and you're in a situation now where you've got the second overall pick. Let's hear from the guy that's going to make the decision eventually, whether to trade, keep, whatever. I mean, there's options on the table. This is Jets general manager Joe Douglas. When asked if someone calls you to offer anything for the services of Sam Darnold, what Douglas will do.
I will answer the call if it's made. As it pertains to Sam, Sam's a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. Like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
See, I feel
brilliant.
Like I need to get in the bleach right now and clean my soul and my skin.
That's dirty work right there.
And,
that's
and
dirty
no,
work
the
right
reason
there.
Is because I'm going to be a germ spreader right now. And Joe Douglas said something that kind of made me go, which is I will answer the call if they call me. And there's rumors out there that the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio are not answering the calls as teams call. So he kept saying, I will answer the call. I will answer the call. That's interesting. That's just interesting to me why he would say that at a time when we all kind of know that allegedly the Houston Texans are not answering the calls for Deshaun.
Let me tell you, I will answer the call. And by the way, let me go ahead and then boast about how good Sam Darnold is to everybody. Let me tell you about the quarterback that you will be potentially trading for and how talented he is and what his ceiling is. But by the way, I will be answering calls.
And look, Sam is good, man.
He is talented.
I think he has.
Both things can be right. You can build up Sam while also trying to build up his trade value that puts your organization in the best possible place. But if you don't get that value, then you haven't said anything detrimental to you keeping Sam.
You know that was my job, to cut you off. You cut me off.
I'm sorry.
So, as I was going to say prior to Jay cutting me off, took my spot, the number two pick is a valuable spot. But when you have a quarterback that's in play, and the reason that you got a new coach is because the coach that you brought in that was supposed to be this offensive innovator, play caller, coach him up, all of those sort of things, didn't work out with him. You can't judge Sam based on three offensive coordinators and two different head coaches. Now on his third head coach, you can't judge him based on that with a lack of weapons around him. They traded away Jamal Adams. They're having some issues right now on the back end with another defensive player on whether or not they should franchise him or sign to a long-term deal. His agent popped off on social media the other day, frustrated with the process.
Lost Le'Veon Bell.
They probably should have never signed him in the first place because he didn't fit what Adam Gates wanted to do. They kind of did that. Joe Douglas comes in. He needs to clean stuff up, and he's trying to do that. They drafted Big Mekhi Becton out of Louisville a year ago, big mammoth left tackle. You shore up the offensive line. You find some skill position players to put around Sam, and you trust in Mike LaFleur to get the job done. Because if you think that a quarterback who's been in the National Football League that has played, has some starts, has showed flashes of brilliance, you've seen some runs, you've seen some throws, but you also seen some bad throws that made you scratch your head, but you've seen some dynamic stuff that made you go, okay, I see what this kid is capable of doing. I lean more toward that than I do get rid of him. He needs a fresh start. This fresh start is by you bringing in the people that you brought in to fix the situation. Now go out there and put pieces around him. Anybody that knows anything about a quarterback or the NFL, when quarterbacks don't have anything, they're not very good. This is why Josh Allen is where he's at, because Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, realized we got to get some players. We need to go pay Cole Beasley. Oh, by the way, we don't mind giving up a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs because he's going to change everybody's life. Brian Daboll all of a sudden is a great offensive coordinator. Oh, yeah, because he's got things to work with. When they went out and drafted Singletary to running back, or they went out there and got Zach Moss, drafted him from Utah, they're building around Josh Allen. You still got to do the same things with Zach Wilson. You still got to do the same things with Trey Lance. You still got to do the same things with Mac Jones or whoever at the quarterback spot. Don't give me this notion that money is going to factor in it long term and all those sort of things. Don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in building a team around them. And if they can't move the second, if they can't for some reason move the second pick and they sit on it, then draft Penei Sewell and shore up the offensive line.
Yep. That's what I've been saying. Exactly.
He's a left tackle. Okay, well, what makes you think that Becton can be a right tackle or Penei Sewell can be a right tackle? You straighten that thing out. That's what you do. But they'll be able to move the second pick if they decide to.
As Jay said, the draft starts at two, right? If it's just basically, you know, Trevor Lawrence, the draft starts at two. And if that's the case, the Jets in some ways are sitting in the catbird seat, right? They're sitting in the catbird seat. This is a quarterback-heavy draft, and they have the first pick that's sort of up in the air. And they have to figure out whether they're going to leverage that pick for more picks or they're going to keep Sam Darnold and use that pick
to
bolster
him. Make no doubt about it. Joe Douglas the other day, I mean, the house is for sale. The sign went up. House is for sale. Sam Darnold, it's for sale. Who wants him?
Yeah, because to Jay's point, some of those other comments prior to this comment yesterday had been full-throated support.
Yes.
Full-throated support of Sam Darnold, and he edged back just a touch.
And somebody should go and trade for Sam Darnold, right? The problem that you're going to have is if Sam Darnold goes to a Kyle Shanahan, Oh. Somebody that really knows how to coach him up? Or Kyle Shanahan or Sam Darnold goes to Sean Payton, or Sam Darnold winds up in Chicago and he's cooking, and you stuck with Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Justin Fields, and the Jets are 5-11, and that dude's in the playoffs somewhere, egg on your face.
No doubt about it. And it's a pleasure to have Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski join us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. Coach, you lost your first game as an NFL head coach, lopsided loss, but then you helped to snap the NFL's longest playoff drought. You get to the playoffs. You miss the playoff game with COVID, but eventually you lead the Browns to the divisional round of the playoffs. With all that said, how would you describe your first year as an NFL head coach?
A whirlwind. And as you guys know, every season there's always something that you didn't expect. And I would tell you, I didn't see the pandemic coming. But then to navigate all of that, to go through it with the coaches, to have practice canceled and then practice postponed and then games almost postponed, and for me to miss a game, I don't think you can predict any of that. So hopefully we learned a lot about how to be resilient and can apply some lessons as we go forward.
This organization, as you know, Coach, has been through so much over the last several decades. How have you changed the culture? I don't want to use the word culture, but how have you changed it since coming over?
Yeah, Keyshawn, it's one of those things that we really didn't talk about the past because it didn't apply to us this past season. And I understand the history. I'm well aware of what had happened prior, but I also understood that that wasn't going to affect us. And I know, and you know this, when you're in the building, you get insulated in a lot of ways to what's going on the outside. So we focused, when we were in this building, we focused on the things that we could control, tried to take it one day at a time, one game at a time, if you will, and that seemed to serve us. But I don't think it's something that we had to discuss quite a bit about the past, because really the past didn't affect us in the present.
Kevin, there were so many expectations about Baker Mayfield coming into this season, but what impressed you most about him, especially the second half of the season?
Yeah, I think how he grew, and I think he's a great example for our team, how you have to grow as a player. You have to keep getting better. You have to push yourself. And I think for him early in this season, which we understood and figured was going to happen, without a preseason, without an off season and a brand new system, you're going to have to evolve and learn about yourself. So I think he got more comfortable with what we were doing as he just got reps and reps and reps. And the one of the things I love about Baker is how he works. He's a gym rat. He grinds. He wants to be great, and he understands that there's no secret to, and you can't snap your fingers and it just happens. So I think the maturation of Baker throughout the season and the way he kept getting better in what we were doing, I think was a great example to all of our players that this game, it requires a lot of you, and you better put in the work if you ultimately want to get to where we want to go.
Coach, you and the organization obviously have a huge decision this offseason with Baker Mayfield and the extension. What's your timetable for potentially getting this extension done?
Yeah, I'm lucky in that I have a really good general manager that gets to worry about this. But I will tell you, I mean, obviously, Andrew and I talk about all of our players and all of these things. But I'll just tell you that all of these decisions, it's a business, but things take care of themselves. It works itself out. And we're just going to focus, or at least I'm going to focus on the day-to-day. And as it applies to Baker, I know he's going to do the same.
Coach, we're here in the offseason, and you know how it goes. You get a lot of conversation swirling around polarizing players, and you got one in your locker room in OBJ. How's his rehab going, and what's his future with the organization?
Yeah, he's doing great, Key. He's working really hard. He attacks rehab like I've never seen people do it. And last year he was rehabbing from a core muscle injury. So this is a totally different injury, but just to see the way he went about it, he exhausts every avenue to get his body right. And he's just such a freak athlete. It's just amazing to me the process he goes through. So he's working really, really hard, which should surprise no one. I think he's in a great spot, and I'm excited to get him back here.
Coach, when you look at spending money at our position, you got two great guys in Landry and OBJ. Are you going to be able to keep both of those guys when they're eating up so much of the salary cap because of the economics? And I know you said Andrew Berry handles things, but how are you guys going to handle this situation?
I think we can, yeah. I think you don't want to be so dogmatic about it and say, all right, we have to have this number of receivers and this number of tight ends and this running back. I think you go with what you have and you make sure that, that you're putting yourself in position to field a competitive roster for a bunch of years moving forward. So, yeah, I think we're in a good spot. You know, the easy part to say is, hey, just give us more players. We want, you know, give us three more great players on the offensive side and give us, you know, three players on the defensive side. And we're going to spend this amount on each guy. I think we have a plan. We'll follow through with that plan. But ultimately, as coaches, we'll make it work with whatever we go to. And I say that because sometimes you have a season. You know, I've been a part of some teams in the past where you had four great receivers, so you molded your offense to that. Or you had, you know, three great tight ends and you molded your offense to that. So that's our job as coaches, to take what we have in our roster and make sure we're maximizing everybody's talents.
Coach, you've been around a lot of great running backs in your day. How does Nick Chubb compare to some of the ones that you've seen?
Yeah, he's pretty special. You know, the way, just from a physical standpoint, how he is able to be a home run threat at his size and having that power, that's pretty rare for a guy. I'll also tell you, you know, everything that you love about Nick, you could start with just off the field. He doesn't say much. When he does speak, his teammates listen. The way he practices, the way he goes about his business, he gives great leadership, and he doesn't have to be vocal about it at all. The guys understand that. And he's also a great follower. You know, that's something we talk about. Everybody wants to talk about leadership. Followership's a big deal. And Nick understands when something's right, and he does his job. And it's amazing how many guys see that and respect how he goes about his business.
We know there were so many rumors about J.J. Watt potentially coming on board. Obviously, he signed with the Cardinals. But where does upgrading the defense rank on your priority list this offseason?
Yeah, Jay, I think upgrading the defense is obviously a big part of what we're focused on. You know, offensively, certainly we feel like we're never there. We always want to make sure that we're getting better on both sides of the ball. But I don't think it's a secret to say that Andrew's going to work hard to find ways to add players at every level of our defense. And there's ways to do that via free agency. There's ways to do that via the draft and trade. So that's something that we're exploring. And I think all 32 clubs realize that if the goal is to get better, that's got to also be part of your player acquisition process. And that's something that we're working through right now.
Kevin, every time I see a video of Myles Garrett, I literally hold my breath. I mean, he's so athletic. I think he can play for an NBA team. How special is he to have on this roster, considering what he brings to the table?
Yeah, he'd be a problem for some of those guards on the wing. He'd bring him right down to the weight room on the low block. He's a special talent. I'll never forget the first time I got to put eyes on him was really in July, when we finally were able to work together, and just seeing him come out of the stance was incredible. So somebody that works really hard, you know, I want him to continue to work hard and find ways to get his cardio in and find safe ways to do that. So I think he's doing that. I want to make sure he's staying out of the fray and no elbows coming his way.
Coach, with free agency approaching and having a bunch of top dogs yourself, how do you prioritize which guys you pay, which guys you let walk out the door?
Yeah, it's a good question, Key. I think, you know, the coach in me sits here and tells Andrew, hey, make sure you bring everybody back. You know, I want all these guys back because you've been through the battles with them. I think you have to, on some of these guys, you have to see where the market goes. It's a complicated year, and you guys know that, and there's people – a lot smarter than me that could explain that. But I think this is that year where you just got to see what the market brings and then see where it makes sense for some of these guys. But you guys know this, every year you got different faces. You got some guys coming in, some guys going out. So I understand that's part of the business, and I respect that part of the business, but it is hard because year to year you make relationships with these guys, and I'd love to keep everybody.
Coach, I know you said publicly you were a little bit disappointed when you didn't get the Browns job the first time around. When you interviewed in 2019, it went to Freddie Kitchens. But in life, as you well know, sometimes it's worth the wait. And you're a prime example of that. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck in the offseason.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
This dude won't be 40 years old until the 2022 offseason. When we hit the offseason, heading into the 2022 season, unbelievable. What a great job he has done. On the way, speaking of great jobs, only one school has ever won the men's basketball and football championship in the same school year. I'll tell you who that is after the break. Think about it for a second. Is another... from the same conference, I think.
What did we do
about
to
join the party? The main ingredient in perhaps making that happen is next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Have you ever been around anybody that has as much energy as your head coach?
I don't think so, man. He's so fired up. He loves the game, and you know we feed off his energy, man. When Oates is lit, he's lit.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
They've lit a match in T-Town. We always talk about football, of course, with Alabama, but over the weekend, the basketball team clinching the SEC regular season title. Just a reminder, Rick Barnes is in this league. John Calipari's in this league. Ben Howland is in this league. They got some big-time coaches in the SEC, and the guy that bested them all this year joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. He is Alabama head coach Nate Oates. It's great to have you here. Nate, first things first, you know, the thing, I've been following you from Buffalo all the way to Alabama, and I'm sure many people in Michigan followed you before that. 8 years ago, you're a high school basketball coach, a very successful one, don't get me wrong. But 8 years ago, you're a high school basketball coach. Less than a decade later, you're besting Cal and Barnes and Howland in the SEC. How did this happen?
Well, I walked into some really good players. That's how it happened. I don't care what anybody says. They can talk about all these analytics and all these articles and stuff. But if you don't have really good players, you're going to lose a lot of games. So, I mean, you got to catch a couple breaks in life. The Dookie point guard family tree helped me out a little bit there. So we got the J-Will. J-Will was in the line. But Bobby took a gamble on me and hired a high school coach. It worked out well for us at Buffalo. And then from Buffalo, we started winning some games. And they gave me a chance at Alabama and walked into some pretty good players here at Alabama. And we're winning some more games.
Nate, Bobby always told me you were animated, and I can tell by the raspy voice. I can tell you get after it every day, not only in practice but in the games. But I wanted to ask you about practice. Tell me about this point system that you've created, because I heard it's really interesting.
It's really not that complicated. Like you devalue the shots you don't want, and you value the shots you do want. So, I mean, we use the normal system. We just the mid-range twos are a little less efficient than the at the rim twos and threes. So we give them worth 1 point, give the at the rim twos worth two, and we give threes worth three. And then we put a 4 point line down, and it's really more for spacing. We don't really want a ton of guys shooting outside the 4 point line, but we do have a few that can't shoot that deep. So we got some rules on who can and can't take those. Like, you got to be over a certain percentage from three to get 4 points were the 4 point shot. So we try not to give the 4 pointers that's only for a few guys. Yeah. You might've been in that one, Jay. Well, you might've been able to take some 4 pointers in practice.
I heard you call it Stephen Dameland, which is interesting. Have you seen that? Have you seen that translate to the games as it relates to spacing? Does it give you what you want on the floor?
No, it does more. Like guys like Shackelford and Petty, that can really shoot from deep. I mean, you know, it worked. You know, when we practice on the NBA floor, like when we play the MAC tournament in Cleveland, we practice the Cavs, you know, even here some. You go to some NBA floors and they got that, you know, that, well, shoot, that was Quinterly. He's got some deep range too. So we got, I guess we got a few of them that can shoot that deep. But the when you go to the NBA floors, the spacing gets great with the lane, the three-point line. So we try to have them space the four-point line, step into the three-point line. And sometimes, you know, when they're spaced all the way out, then the defense has to go that far out, and it creates even bigger driving gaps for guys like Herb and Quinterly and guys that can get downhill.
Nate, how do you create this massive footprint that you've been able to create at Alabama basketball? Obviously, you know, you guys are potentially going to be on the two line. We'll see how things work out in the NCAA tournament. But everybody always talks about Alabama and football. But you've been able to really redirect that attention to the basketball program, which is challenging to do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I walked into some pretty good play. I mean, Herb Jones is, I think, one of the finalists for National Player of the Year. John Petty was National Player of the Week. They were here when I got here. And they're seniors, so you win with some older guys in college basketball sometimes. And so we've got an older group. We've got Jordan Bruner as a grad transfer from Yale. So I think we've put a roster together that fits how we want to play. You know, we've got our bigs can shoot, so they can space the floor. We've got guys that can get downhill. We've got guards that can make shots. I think, you know, and then you got to get a little lucky sometimes. You know, we avoided injuries last year. Herb Jones was injured the whole year. This year he's been pretty healthy. I mean, he's injured for about a month and playing with a messed up back. But, you know, you put a system in place, you get guys to buy into it. And our defense has got significantly better too. Everybody wants to talk about the offense and all that. Our offense actually, I'm a little disappointed with it, to be honest with you. It's not where it needs to be. But the defense, I think, is third in the country right now. So we've been winning games with our defense here lately. We've had the offensive kind of 115 against Georgia and hit the 23 threes against LSU. And we've had the explosion games, but consistently our defense has been there.
Coach, all signs point to the Tide hitting that two line in March Madness, something that hadn't happened since the 01-02 season. What does that say about where you have taken this program?
Well, shoot, I took it to where I think it can get to be honest with you. I mean, the athletic department's big time down here. Obviously, football's winning at a high level all the time. They've got six sports that have won national championships. So, expect you to win here. I think we've got the talent, obviously. You know, it's good. I mean, it's been a long time. I think the people are hungry for a winner in basketball. They obviously get it in football, and they're a little spoiled in that sport, I think. So, I mean, it's been great so far. We got to keep it going, though. The two line's not going to stay there if we don't have a good next couple weeks. But it's been great. It's been a good year so far. I mean, our guys have bought in. They're playing well. I'm really happy for the kids that stayed here. We got three seniors that are all from the state of Alabama, and Petty Jones and Alex Reese. So for them to do what we're doing this year, being from the state of Alabama, I think is huge.
When you mentioned football, we all know about Nick Saban and the Tide and what they've been able to do in the football program. But what has Nick been able to talk to you about, give you some of those resources that's in his back pocket so things can be a little easier on you?
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. My first year when I got here, you know, last year before COVID hit and everything, I went over there. I went to a bunch of practices. I shadowed him for a day. He sat down and talked to me. You know, he meets with all our recruits, which every time I get out of there, I want to, like, wish I had recorded the whole conversation. He's big time with the recruits. You know, I take some mental notes, write some stuff down. This is what I should be talking about. But I mean, he's been open to me getting over there and learning as much as I can. I mean, I think he's the best team sport, any team sports, like, going right now. So to have him right across the street where you can walk over and watch a practice, sit in meetings. I went on their first road trip with them when they played Duke. They crushed them, Jay Will. Sorry about that. It was their first game, my first year here. They played them in Atlanta, but I went on the road trip with them, sat in all their meetings, was kind of in there at halftime with it. I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, they run an unbelievable opera. I think his attention to detail on every little thing. You go through a game day walkthrough the day before, game walkthrough, like they go through every scenario you could possibly think of. You know, where you should score the touchdown, you know, you're up three or whatever it is, or up one, and you're running in for a touchdown. No, take the knee and let the time – they go through all that. So I was like trying to come up with the equivalents in basketball. What should I be? Man, I'm not walking through this much stuff. Our guys aren't prepared for every last little thing. So there's just little stuff like that that you pick up from them.
Nate, I heard you on the Paul Feinbaum show the other day where you talked about your team not wanting to be the Milwaukee Bucks. What did you mean by that?
Listen, that was bad because that's my team. I grew up in Wisconsin. I love the Bucks. I follow them. It's been great. But I had my hopes all up. You know, they were the best team until the shutdown. And then they get in the bubble. You know, like we won the SEC with multiple games to go yet. So my point on that was like I didn't – you know, some people think maybe I should rest Herb. He had a messed up back or rest Petty and – you know, I don't think you can rest guys – and be playing your best basketball come SEC tournament. Like we're trying to win the SEC tournament. I just don't think it – you got to stay in rhythm. Guys got to play. We got to keep our foot on the gas. I just – when I said that, which I hope never gets back to the Bucks because they've been great. I was up at training camp there last year. So I have a tendency to put my foot in my mouth like a moron. As a Duke player would know, I had to apologize on that one before too, but I.
That's why we love you, Nate. That's why we love you, though. You say what's on your mind.
We got to keep our foot on the gas pedal. That's what I meant by that. So we're going to try to keep pushing through. We may have won the SEC regular season, so it's been good since we've won it. You know, we beat Auburn, so we swept our rival. Now we got to play at Georgia. We want to be on a run going into the SEC tournament.
And Jay hit it, and you said it. College basketball needs more people like him that are willing to go out there and say 1,000%. Things the way that he has done. Bobby, of course, if you're just joining us, that was Bobby Hurley, the reference. Great stuff going down memory lane. And what could be the future for the Alabama basketball program? Coach Oates, thanks a lot. Selection Sunday, March 14th. Best of luck when you go to Indy and whoever you face.
Good luck in the tournament, Nate.
All right, thanks, fellas. Appreciate you having me on. Roll Tide.
You got
there
on,
you
man.
Go. Roll Tide.
Yogurt with
that
oats?
What's that?
Stop. You know, but I look, here's one thing I do like about Nate. Like, even with the Bucks comment, like, he's going to say what's on his mind. And they should think not only about just winning regular season, but winning the SEC tournament and then winning the whole damn thing.
Yep. You got to have players, right? You got to have Agreed. Players at every level. Nate Oates was brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Award. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. On the way, Jets have the second pick. They have Sam Darnold for now. And the biggest question we're posing today, three guys drafted alongside Sam. What should the Browns do with Baker? The Bills with Allen. The Browns the Bills with Allen, excuse me. Well, it's too late. Who gets the money? Baker, Allen, Lamar. Well, we talked about it once. And
keep
it, was
it simple,
good, so.
Zubin. Keep it simple.
Now we're back after this.
I still think that Sam Spillinger's hope to stay in New York. I think that's what's best for Sam Darnold.
Are you willing to listen to offers from teams on Sam?
To answer that question, I will answer the call.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com /unsportsmanlike.
It's Jets general manager Doe Douglas, who was full-throated in his support of Sam Darnold yesterday during his press conference, leaving the door just ajar if somebody calls. As Key astutely said, unlike when you call the Houston Texans, I will pick up the phone. The draft, April 29th to May 1st, ESPN, ESPN Radio. Before we dive in with Chris Canty on some really interesting football stuff and an opinion on Darnold you likely haven't heard, let's welcome him in, the Super Bowl champion, co-host of DCR on our New York affiliate, 98.7, leads right into our program, KJZ, which you can hear on 98.7 at 8 a.m. Eastern. Before we get into the professional, how about a little personal accolades for Chris?
Oh, congratulations, man. A little birdie told me that you got engaged yesterday, so I just want to say congratulations, and you're officially off the market.
Yes, sir. I'm hanging the jersey up on the wall, Keyshawn. But listen, it's the best decision I've ever made. She's awesome. I was nervous right before I got down on one knee to give the proposal, but everything worked out. It couldn't be more perfect.
I don't need you to tell me what the ring size and everything. Just nod your head. Is it right?
It's a whole lot of love, Key. Let's leave it at that. That's a whole lot of love right there.
Okay.
Exactly. I'm not keeping it on a string like Dak Prescott is in the Dallas Cowboys situation. Like, I'm not like Jerry Jones. I committed to this one.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
So she got the diamond. There are some people that
I've already invested into the Canties, though, right?
What do you mean?
Because his fiance is you know, tall, and this one here. First round, 2040, 2050, them kids. I'm already invested.
You already invested?
I'm already invested.
You're going to be that uncle that's going to keep sending uncle them gym bags? Uncle Key, how about that?
Good genes, not with the J, but with the G. Good stuff, good stuff. We'll wait to see what happens. All right, so she gets the diamond. There's some people that still believe Sam Darnold, he may just be cubic zirconia. I mean, we're just not exactly sure at this moment. I want you guys to listen to this. This is Diane Irizarry, ESPN NFL reporter. I know all the fans that probably call your show each weekday morning are down on Sam. So many people are down on Sam. But Diana says the people that do this for a living, still bullish.
I live in the New York area, and I can tell you, not everyone's really hot on Sam Darnold. Yet when you talk to the football experts, the coaches, the GMs, even an owner that I spoke to at the Combine once, they all think Sam Darnold can play. So until I think people start giving up on him, those that know what they're doing, Sam Darnold has so much potential to be successful. It's just whether or not it's going to be in New York or not.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Dirtiest word in sports, potential, right?
Potential. Oh, yeah. Potential just means you haven't done it yet. That's what Key and I's former coach Bill Parcells used to always say. And Sam Darnold is just good enough to get you fired. And what I mean by that is, if you decide you're going to stay with Sam and bypass the opportunity to take a quarterback with the second overall pick, at that point, Joe Douglas is marrying his career to Sam Darnold's success, and that's got to be an uncomfortable position to be in based on what we've seen in his first 3 years in the NFL.
See, I for me, Chris, yeah, you're right. He could be in a situation to get you fired, but you brought in coaches to address those issues. And so when I look at Sam – you drafted him, not Joe, but the organization drafted him 3 years ago because they felt as the third pick that he was going to be a long-term answer. Nothing around him. He's gone through three offensive coordinators. This will be his third head coach now. It's kind of like, is he really getting a fair shake and opportunity? And I would rather have a guy that has some NFL experience rather than taking Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Mac Jones, hell, even Trevor Lawrence, and I still got to build around them, and we don't know what we're getting. At least I know it's a plus or a minus with Sam Darnold. I have no idea what those other quarterbacks are.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to – I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's the right thing to do for the Jets to stay with Sam Darnold just because you feel more comfortable or you have more data points on him than you would with the young quarterback. I mean, you're talking about potential in both situations, and I've heard NFL coaches say that they would rather bet on a player that they haven't seen fail at the NFL level than a guy like Sam Darnold who has more turnovers than passing touchdowns through his first 3 years. So when it comes down to it, I just don't know that the Jets can pass on the opportunity – for a quarterback at two, just because of the information that they have on Sam Darnold. We still don't know whether or not he can do the job. Like, you've explained all of the different reasons. Some people might call them excuses, but whatever they are, they don't help you answer the question of whether or not Sam Darnold can actually play the quarterback position in the National Football League at a high level. And for me, I'm not willing to pass on the opportunity to take one of these quarterbacks at two and bet on the potential of Sam Darnold any longer.
Even though you brought in new coaches that's supposed to get it fixed. Mike LaFleur is supposed to get it fixed as the new offensive coordinator who came over from the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, I brought in new coaches to get the team turned around. It's not just about fixing the quarterback, and the Jets have a whole host of issues. I'm with you on that one. But the Jets have a ton of draft capital in this situation, and let's also not gloss over the fact that you get to reset the money at the quarterback position because the Jets are in a position now this offseason where they've got to make a decision on Sam Darnold's fifth-year option. So from an economic standpoint and a cap management standpoint, it makes sense to go with the younger, cheaper option.
Last thing for you. If you listened to my tease before the break, you probably have no idea what I said. So let me just clear this up for you in the last minute. Baker, Allen, Lamar, all eligible for big money. We want to put them in three separate holes. Which guy would you extend, flat out give the big money to? Which one gets the fifth-year option exercised? And which guy's on the outside looking in that has to just wait? Baker, Allen, Lamar. Put one guy in each spot.
Oh, Zeus. See, you're trying to box me in and I don't like it. You're trying to box me in, I don't like it. Now, listen, I'm going to marry Josh Allen, right?
Somebody going to get mad.
I think Josh Allen has played at a high level. And listen, I'm not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson because he's a former MVP in this league. But in terms of long-term success and projecting, I feel like Josh Allen has shown more as a passer than Lamar has. But I still love Lamar. If it were up to me, I would extend both of them, but that's not the game we're playing. So I would marry Josh Allen. I would go with the fifth-year option with Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield will be on the outside looking in. But I think all three of those quarterbacks get contract extensions this offseason.
Yeah, they probably will, but you know, we've been having this conversation all morning long. I like Josh Allen, but Josh Allen 2 years ago, before they got Stephon Diggs, we was ready to ship him off like Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, Brian Daboll becomes a candidate for head coaching jobs. They get Stephon Diggs. He's great. Lamar Jackson, let's see what happens in the offseason, what type of weapons they get on the edges for him at the receiver position. If they go out and they get the right guys, the passing game, they already went and got T. Martin to coach the receivers along with Keith Williams. Mm-hmm. So they're already trying to reshape the passing game. And I think, you know, man, that dude is just – I don't need him to be a quarterback. He's just special all the way
he's
around.
Special.
No, he's different. He's just a different dude.
The only thing everybody agreed on, including Chris Baker on the outside looking in, do we all agree a new MVP in the NBA has emerged? That's next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.